Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic. It's a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today we're going to be talking about something that's been in like social media off and on, more so I think recently than it has in the past. But we're talking about photobiomodulation.
The big word, photobiomodulation. Do you know about that, Allie?
All about it.
All about it.
Red light therapy is what we're going to be talking about today. The mythical red light therapy that nobody really knows what it does. Everybody talks about it. Everybody says it's so good for you and it boosts collagen. But do we really know what it does? And so we brought a doctor here to explain it to you today, Dr. Chris Crowley.
Yeah.
We're all going to talk about it. And I think, you know, it's something, like you said, that's out. Every influencer has a code for you to buy a new red light therapy mask. And how do you know what you're buying is quality versus what you can get in a medical spa setting? And so I think it's something important for consumers to know, you know, what they're spending their money on.
Yeah, I think it's really important to know. And it's a very interesting concept and interesting therapy. There are entire red light clinics now. And so literally you go in and it's like the kind of, we used to think about tanning salons, but it's all different types of red light beds, rooms, all sorts of things that you can put your whole body in for detoxification. We use it primarily here in our practice for collagen stimulation and for promoted healing after aggressive procedures. We've used it for a while now, for several years. And so we were kind of early adopters. I don't know, think we understood it. We didn't always use the ones that had the highest intensity. So they weren't necessarily a bad quality, but they were good after some procedure, but as a standalone treatment, maybe they weren't the most effective. What we've learned over time is that a lot of your results from the red light therapy will be directly dependent on the number of lights that are in the device, how close in proximity those lights are to the target area. So are they really close to your skin? Are they far away, like a light above you? And so when we're looking for collagen stimulation, we know they need to be fairly close. And the more concentration, the more number of lights. And so when you look at some of the things like the red light hats and masks, usually the higher number of lights will correlate with a result that's better in a shorter period of time. And so that's what we look at when we buy them. So they range from a few hundred dollars to tens of thousands of dollars. So the one we have in the clinic that's really like a medical grade, it's actually, you know, a medical device and has quite a few in it. You know, those are tens of thousands of dollars, but we're able to get then pretty impressive results in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. Versus one that you have to wear at home, you'd probably need to wear like 20 or 30 minutes and daily for a lot of days to see the results. And these we can do your treatments in like 10 to 12 minutes in a very short period of time to get the same effect because of the different type of device we're using.
Mm-hmm. We've been using it like personally. I was just thinking about this. Like the very first red light therapy that we got, Chris had an aggressive laser. I bet that's been 10 years, don't you think? Probably close to 10 years ago. And Vimy, our therapist in Chicago, sent him a red light to help to heal. Mm-hmm. That was the very first one that...
Yeah, I forgot about that. And that was a little countertop device, and I would have to sit in front of it. And it was like a square, and you would sit and kind of put the... to help heal from that.
And that was the first. And then fast forward a few years and I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis and would have like flare-ups, and common was my thumb or my ankles, and I would use it for that. And I never used it for extended periods of time, but it almost seemed like 2 to 3 treatments would even make a difference. So it really helped a lot with inflammation. So that's how far back it goes for us. Now, as far as the, like for cosmetics and being faithful about collagen stimulation, neither of us have done that.
So do you know how it works?
Are you asking me? I think you're asking Allie.
Do you know how it works or just that it works?
It works. Well, what it
works.
It works.
We swear. Well,
it creates a good environment for the cells to be healthy. And so
it's like cellular communication.
Is it?
Kind of. I mean, definitely we have to, it's one of those things, it's a lot of, you know, different pathways that it regulates, and it's kind of hard. So I have to cheat and look at the sheet here. But we, you know, when we look at it, one of the things that you absolutely, that we recognize and we know is a part of a lot of things we do is regulating nitric oxide. And so nitric oxide is one of the things with vasodilation. It's one of the pathways that we know helps a lot with rejuvenation. And so when we measure those levels, they're low. And so there's even companies that have looked at nitric oxide supplements. When we do things like our Neogen treatment, when we do the wet method, or when we do the, it's even spraying like a water on there and do it, we create increased nitric oxide species at the surface, which then that regenerative pathway. And so the red light therapy has helped modulating that. So that's one of the pathways that it's working on. It's also working on the cytochrome C oxidase, which is in the mitochondria, so a cellular aging process that's impacting. We're looking at influences of the ATP production and the reactive oxygen species. So those are different things. All of those are the mechanism of what this is actually doing that leads to a better collagen production, smoother appearing skin. You can get some, we can mix it with different lights for some, to really get some other effects. So when we mix it some with blue light, we can impact things like acne. And so there's different things that we can modulate just with this light therapy. And so that's why I think we talk about photobiomodulation. It's really, we red light's where we jump to, and it's the most commonly used, but we can use red lights, blue lights, yellow lights, infrared, and all to create a different result.
That makes sense when you think about a lot of times red light therapy being used for healing, per se, or for wound healing and things like that, things that cause vasodilation, and getting more healthy blood flow to an area is always going to, you know, decrease your healing time. And so, you know, I think that's something that we could probably maybe take advantage of more here is, you know, when we do those, you know, more intense energy-based devices, is doing some red light therapy, you know, maybe afterwards to help and reduce healing times and to, you know, further improve outcomes too. And something that's safe, you know, that we know is effective, but also safe, that's not going to further intensify a treatment, you know, that we've done.
And that's part of the reason people like it so much, because it is safe. It's a safe treatment. It's a no downtime treatment. Mm-hmm. It's painless. It's not uncomfortable. And so, and people are leaning more towards that. And there's so much hype around it right now. We've seen a ton of it advertised for, you know, hair growth and all these different LED caps or red light therapy caps and things like that to help with hair growth. They're using it for treatment of Peyronie's disease is one of the other things. And that goes back to the inflammation and decreasing the plaques. And so I don't know with psoriasis it was necessarily used for skin plaques. Have you seen that?
I haven't, so I'm not real.
I was just thinking about that as I was talking.
I have a friend that uses, she has one of the panel like ones that you said that you would sit in front of. She bought one of those because she has eczema, but when she has eczema, she usually has it on her legs. So she couldn't buy one of the face masks. It wasn't as effective. So she'll buy she has a panel one, and she just actually sits and like holds it over her legs when she's having an eczema flare up. And she said it makes a world of difference.
I know a lot of the evidence in our space, in the aesthetic space, is on collagen production, but also on hair. And so you mentioned that briefly, and certainly those hair red light caps have been really popular for a while because patients will come into the office with thinning hair. We talked about menopause on one of our other episodes and really how there's a lot of changes. We didn't talk about like hair thinning, but looking at ways to stimulate those follicles. And there are some studies with large numbers of patients. So there's one with almost 4,000 patients in it that had statistically more hair growth than the group that used just red light therapy compared to nothing else. But the thing is, it's ongoing use. And so you either have to keep coming back to the office, and it's a shorter session, but it's something we do here in the office, or have some device that's strong enough at home. Because I think more often than not, people may get some of the devices that either don't have enough light, or they're not wearing it long enough, or they don't have the right wavelength or fluence. And so there's those terms that we look at that are the, you know, the physics of the device and how it works that really make a difference between some of the things you can just buy online versus one of the medical grade products.
The ones that are truly medical grade quality that are even like, we saw some in the kiosk at a mall maybe we were in Vegas. I forget. They were like $2,000, and a lot of people can't justify that, you know, for a home device.
Well, I think they won't justify it for a home device if we're questioning the efficacy.
Right.
I think people, if they knew for sure that it would work, they would be willing to invest in the money. But I think it's a lot of money, regardless of your income bracket, for something that may or may not work. And so I think the more evidence we get, and the more we're able to kind of really like look at products and say that one would work versus this one does not, because they can be really expensive.
Well, even the caps, the baseball caps or red light therapy caps, I should say, that look like a baseball cap, those are like $1,500. And I do think the prices came down some recently, but they're still expensive.
They even have the red light therapy like combs now, don't they, too, that you can like use to comb through your hair. I mean, I would think a cap would be like more effective.
But I really kind of wonder about things like that, because it literally is the duration, the intensity.
Right.
And you know, the one we use here, you guys know how intense it is. Like even with metal goggles, like we can tell it's like it looks like you're looking in the sun. It's even with a metal goggle, metal shield over your eye, it's super bright. And we have to let them sit there under that, you know, for 10 minutes or so, 10 to 12 minutes. So imagine just the time it takes you to comb your hair and the intensity of those red lights. So to me, I don't know if that's that sort of stuff. I'm wondering, is that more gimmicky than effective? Because we're doing such a low intensity for a low amount of time. Is it harmful? Probably not. But that's just my guess. I don't know the evidence on it, but I'm just thinking about the mechanism. I'm like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If we can get these super concentrated ones, and we still have to have it, nobody's sitting there 10 minutes holding it in one area, like combing their hair.
I can't imagine brushing my hair for 10 minutes. That sounds excruciating. Now they even have, you know, red light therapy has become so popular. And I think tanning beds have become increasingly less popular over time. I was at Palm Beach getting a spray tan recently, and they were telling me about, because I have my membership frozen there, and it basically just banks into an account, and then I can use it to put towards spray tans. So it's like a savings account for my spray tans, essentially. And, you know, Channing doesn't notice the $7.99 that comes out of the account every month. Like $8 is nothing, you know? And so I just do that. That way, whenever I do get a spray tan, it's like a free spray tan is what it feels like, even though it's not free. And they were telling me about their newer beds. On the higher tier level memberships that you can get in now have actually red light therapy for the face bulbs and then the standard bulbs for the body for tanning. But I thought that was interesting that they're even like reaching out to like, you know, wellness red light therapy to try to get like tanning, you know, back cool and everything, you know.
Well,
you know, they have like saunas and all kinds of stuff at Palm Beach Tans now. Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, I always said like, I love the way a tanning bed feels.
Now, best nap of your life.
Yeah, we haven't done this in forever. I don't think either of us have been to a tanning bed in a long time.
6 months.
6 months for Jerry, long time for me. He's going to say 6 days and I'm going to fall over. Yeah, but more because we know that what it does to our skin. But the thing is, that, yeah, if I knew that I could get by with it, I would go every day.
Right.
I love the way it feels. And so I think that, you know, also that feeling, but knowing that it's not going to like induce DNA damage. Right. And so we don't get some of the harmful effects from the red light therapy that you do from UV. And that is the key. It is not UV. So it is not a tanning bed. And it's not going to induce DNA damage. And so that I can see them becoming more popular, because if you could get that same feeling, but I also
like a red light therapy bed.
Yeah. The whole
bed. They make full red light therapy beds. Is there a population that it's not safe for?
It's really safe in general for most people, but there are going to be some conditions that we wouldn't want to use it in. So anybody on photosensitizing medication, so certain medications, anybody with an autoimmune condition that could be, that's photosensitizing. So some of the lupus, conditions that can get worse with that, then we want to make sure that we avoid that. So any of the photosensitizing conditions, obviously it's not studied in pregnancy and breastfeeding mechanism wise. I don't see any problems with that. Certainly don't want to use it without eye protection. You know, some of the more medical grade ones could cause some retinal damage. So there are a few things that you have to worry about, but in general, it is safe for most people.
Good to know.
Good to know. Okay. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Beauty in the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.
Bye.